honor and a privilege to be able to come and stand behind this pulpit. I treasure the opportunity, treasure the privilege. I don't seek opportunities to preach outside of my church. It's not something that I feel that's my calling. God called me to be a pastor, and I'm very comfortable behind my own pulpit. Amen. But occasionally, I do get the opportunity, and we're so grateful to be here tonight. It is a great connection to be connected to Brother and Sister Crosswhite, such tremendous people. And we've been knowing each other since kids. I mean, grew up same church, and your pastor's wife is a miracle baby. And I know you probably know the story, but God raised her up from the dead as a baby so she could be here tonight. Amen. And I'm so thankful for the connection and for the apostolic heritage that we have. We have been through a lot of things, a lot of changes over the years and things. And sad part, I was working in the hospital the night her mama come in. And that was a terrible, terrible night to be working in the hospital that night when we lost her mother. And we called her Aunt Obie. That was what we called her. Such a tremendous lady. She wasn't big, but she was a powerful, powerful woman. So we're grateful tonight to be able to come here. And it's a lot of history I could talk a long time about with Sister Crosswhite and Brother Crosswhite. But especially the time they came to Alaska. We pastored in Alaska for 11 years. And they came up there and spent 2 weeks with us and cooked some of their wonderful, wonderful Cajun food. And just, blessed our hearts and blessed us so much while we were there. Played golf at midnight. My mama beat both of us, I think. And you have to ask him about that. I won't go into detail. But tremendous, tremendous history and fun that we've had. But I do feel like I have a word from the Lord. He woke me up early yesterday morning and began to deal with my heart about this particular service as well. And I heard Sister Crosswhite say before church, she said, "We want God to do some mighty things in here tonight." And I thought, well, that just confirms everything. I think God wants to do some mighty things in here tonight. And I'm not an evangelist by calling, but I feel like that tonight the Lord will use me in that capacity. Sister Susie, good to see you back there. Her mama goes to our church, and we love Sister Thomas. She is such a tremendous lady. If she can be in church, she's going to be in church. And it don't matter if her blood pressure is at stroke level. She's coming to church. Amen. I'm so thankful for my wife. She is a strength behind me, and she is everything that has made me who I am. And I'm so grateful for everything that God has given me through her. Amen. Thank you, Brother Crosswhite, for the privilege. I want to turn your attention to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6, and also 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. Such a powerful spirit, I feel. And I love the doctrinal songs. When you can get back to what we know and what we believe in. And to me, there is no greater doctrinal song than "It's All in Him." Amen. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Amen. If you can't shout to that song, your shouter's broken. Amen. You need to go back and get your shouter fixed. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 15. It says that when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Elisha saw something that the servant didn't. And Elisha prayed, and he said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Now, the servant was already seeing, but he was seeing the wrong thing. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. If you'll turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 18, one verse of scripture there, simply says this: while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, hallelujah. Just for a little while, with the help of the Lord, I'm going to try to deliver what I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight, preaching on this subject: seeing the unseen. Seeing the unseen. Amen. Would you help me? Let's touch the throne for just a moment. Lord, we ask you. Lord, we ask you to help us. Thank you for the presence of God that we have already felt in this place. Thank you for the mighty hand of God that is upon us. But I am praying and I am believing that before we leave this place, somebody's going to access the unseen. Somebody's going to step into the place, oh, where they transcend what they see, and they are going to access the unseen tonight. In the Holy Ghost, we believe it, and we speak it in faith in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Pardon me, my allergies have been acting up. I'm sure everyone is probably in the same boat if you have spring allergies. But thank God for the rain. It's kind of settled them down a little bit. Amen. Isn't it great when rain begins to come? And the same thing with spiritual rain. When the Lord begins to pour out his rain, there's a freshness, there's an anointing that comes with it, and I'm thankful for the rain tonight. Amen. This shortened backstory of the passage that is in 2 Kings is that the king of Syria had been warring against Israel, and God was revealing the plans of this Syrian king, and he was revealing them to Elisha. Elisha was passing the plans on to the king of Israel. And when the king of Israel would go and check it out, sure enough, the enemy would be there. And Syria just couldn't quite figure out what was going on. He thought his men was kind of telling on him, somebody was in the camp and they was going against him. And they said, no, you don't understand. There's a prophet in Israel. His name is Elisha, and God is revealing our plans to him, and he is telling them to the king of Israel. If there is one thing about being on the Lord's side that I enjoy, is that the Lord has an all-knowing eye. That there is nothing that the enemy can ever come against us that God already doesn't know his plans. Hallelujah. So the king of Syria found out where Elisha was staying, and he sent a great host of horses and chariots, and he surrounded Dothan, which was where Elisha and the servant were staying. And it's always been a thought of mine that, you know, if God has been revealing these plans, these enemy plans to Elisha, then why did the enemy think this was a good idea to show up at Dothan and surround the very one who already knows that he's coming? Elisha wasn't nervous. Elisha wasn't scared. He knew what was fixing to happen. But here's Elisha and here's his servant doing what they were supposed to be doing, and that is just simply serving God. I just want to help someone for a moment here tonight. You don't have to be doing anything big and bad and tremendous to get the enemy's attention. All you got to be doing is serving God. All you got to be doing is showing up to the house of God, coming in, and all you got to be doing is just doing your best, and it's going to attract the enemy, and he's going to come in. And he's not just going to come in and just send a few of his people. No, they are going to send a great force. He sent his force of horses and chariots, and they surrounded the entire area of Dothan. When the eyes of the servant looked out, he immediately saw the enemy had surrounded them. And immediately in his mind, they were defeated. Immediately what he saw is it's over. Now, the servant was troubled by what he saw, and too often, and I'm not trying to be offensive tonight, but sometimes we need to hear a truth, and the truth is this. Too often, we bow down to the gods of what we can see, and those gods are the gods of fear. And they are the gods of doubt, and they are the gods of defeat. Amen. What we see is often what brings us down. It is the present situation. It is the tangible thing. It is the thing that is in front of us, that thing that controls our faith. It is what brings forth the words of our mouth, which is what brought forth the words of the mouth of the servant. And that was simply this: what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this? It is what brings forth the determining factor of your defeat. Simply saying there is no way out. If we do a case in point, let's go back a little bit. Amen. To the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt. And they found themselves at the Red Sea. And as they're standing at the Red Sea, they look behind them. And here comes the Egyptians. Guess what? Horses and chariots. There's something about horses and chariots that speaks fear into the heart of the people. And they said, what are we going to do? They're going to defeat us. They're going to kill us. We can't go forward because there is no path through this. Amen. But understand this, if God brings you to the Red Sea, he's got a purpose, he's got a plan, he's got a path that he is going to take you through, and he's got two purposes. He wants to show his mighty hand, but he also wants to drown the enemy. He's got a plan. If he brings you there, he's going to take you through. And what Egypt didn't know was they was about to have a bad day. If the enemy can ever get you to see in defeat, then you are defeated. If he can ever get you to that place, that's why he don't send a small trial. That's why he don't send two or three little imps along the way. He's not going to send a couple of his worst demons to try to intimidate you. He's going to send his force. He is going to send the biggest and the baddest that can come around and surround you on all sides. He sends the horses. He sends the chariots because he wants you to be entrapped. He wants you to be encompassed. And he wants you to see defeat. Amen. Now, in the Bible days, the horses and chariots were sources of the greatest fears. Armies with horses and chariots, they were feared armies. In Joshua 17 and Judges 1 and Judges 4, the Israelites were afraid of the inhabitants of the land simply because they had chariots of iron. The horses and chariots were faster. They were stronger than men on foot. They could maneuver and they could move around on the battlefield a lot quicker. They could run over foot soldiers. Horses and chariots were much more difficult to target and to hit with arrows and spears, and swords were pretty much obsolete against them. They were a tremendous fighting force on the battlefield. Therefore, when the servant looked and he saw all of these horses, and he saw all these chariots, and they were totally surrounded. And all this was coming just after two people. Amen. Two people. The sight of the force is what brought fear to his heart. And he said, what shall we do? Those kind of words are spoken from the fear. They're not spoken out of faith. Because if you're speaking out of faith, you're not going to say, what shall we do? If you're speaking out of faith, we're going to say, what's he going to do? Because if you're speaking out of fear, yeah, what are we going to do? Nothing. But if I'm speaking out of faith, it's going to be, what is he going to do? Because I know that he is not going to leave me, and he is not going to forsake me, and he is not going to let me be defeated. I got to speak from the mouth of faith. Hallelujah. Because your enemy knows he's got to come in with all of his force. He's got to show up with everything he's got. He wants you to see just how powerful he really is. He wants to present that deceptive view of himself. Amen. We see him at the beginning of the Bible as this serpent that slithers and talks. But by the end of the Bible, he's this fire-breathing dragon. He wants you to think that he is something big and he's something bad. But someday we're going to look on him narrowly, the Bible says. And we're going to say, is this the
the one that troubled the nations? Is this the one that caused me to nearly give up? Is this the one that nearly caused me to lose my faith and lose my God, help us today. Understand, we got to get beyond that. And we got to understand, it's what we see that entraps us. It's what we see. He sends his horses. He sends his chariots. It is a tactic of warfare. It is the visual. It is the psychological. It is the mental. His tactics have never changed. If he can get you to thinking, if he can get you to believing that you are defeated, you are. The Bible says that the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've got to think a little differently. Amen. He's not going to send something you can win over. He's going to send something that you can't win over, because he wants you to understand it's all psychological. What you see is what you fear, and what you fear will become your outcome.
Yes. That's the truth.
The Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, Revelation chapter 9, he said that the fifth angel sounded, and from the bottomless pit came forth these locusts of destruction. And here's the description of the locust of destruction in Revelation 9 and 6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared in the battle. Here come the horses. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And listen to this. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. It's the same tactic over and over. If he can speak fear into our heart, the things that are going to come on this world are going to cause us to let fear rise in our hearts. Matter of fact, that's what the Lord said in Luke 21 and 26. He said men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. Why? For looking after those things which are coming on the earth. What they see, what they perceive, what they are looking at is going to speak fear into their heart, and it's going to cause their heart to fear. Amen. And it's going to fail them. He is after everything. Why? He wants to hurt. He wants to destroy. He wants to come in and ruin lives. But Revelation said they would desire death, but it would not come. The reason for this is simple, because we're looking after the things which are coming on the earth, and all we want to do is die. But somebody needs to hear me today. The Lord is trying to tell us he wants us to live. He wants us to live. He wants us to have life everlasting. He wants us to get into the eternal, get out of the temporal, get out of the temporary, move beyond where we're at here, because there's a whole world. There's a world of the unseen. There's a world that we need to access and we need to move into. There's a place that we need to try to ascend into. I'm not trying to diminish the size of your trials, because I know they're great. And I know that they are troublesome. I know that they are hot. I know that they are grievous. I understand. I've been there. I feel the pain. I'm human too. I too see the horses, and I too see the chariots, and I too have to battle what I see. I too have to overcome situations of my life. I have endured battles of near destruction. There have been times I have been overwhelmed, and fear consumed me to the place that I was blinded by what I was seeing. Anybody ever been there before?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Blinded by what you are seeing. I know it's kind of whatever the word is there, that you're looking at, you're blinded, but yet you see. Kind of like the servant. He was seeing something, but he was blinded to what he really needed to see. But Jesus gave us a promise in the next two verses of Luke. He said in Luke 21, because verse 26 said, men's hearts are going to fail them. Why? For looking after the things which are coming on the earth. But then Jesus said in verse 27, he said, but it's going to be then. that they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. We got to get our eyes off of the things that's coming upon the earth and start looking at what's coming from heaven. What's coming from heaven? Where am I looking? I've got to get beyond the seeing, and I've got to get to the unseen. I got to get beyond this world that encapsulates my vision, and it holds me captive, and it holds me down, and it prevents me from finding that place. I want to get to the unseen. I want to move beyond where I am at right now. Because there's a world that I want to access. Because the gods of what I am seeing are overwhelming my faith. But it is then, the Bible says, that the God of the unseen is going to show up. And what I'm not seeing was there all the time. Just because the servant was not seeing the chariots and horses of fire did not mean that they were not there. He just wasn't seeing them. He was trapped. He was totally entranced by the visual of the horses and chariots. But Elisha wasn't disturbed. Elisha wasn't shaken. His faith wasn't moved because of what the servant was seeing. Sometimes we let our faith be shaken because of what other people are seeing, and we get pulled in to their deceptive views. We get pulled in to their understanding of the situations when we've got to hold on to our faith. Because if God has ever given you an understanding, you need to hold on to the understanding. You don't need to let go of that knowledge, because there is a world beyond the seen, and it is the unseen. It is not the temporal, it is the eternal. And that is where we're at tonight. Because the God of the unseen was present in the midst of their dilemma, and he is in the midst of my dilemma. Whatever my dilemma is, whatever your dilemma is tonight, God is in the midst of your dilemma. And it may seem like that everything is surrounding you, and it may seem like that there is no way out, but I'm trying to get somebody to move beyond what they are seeing. What I really want to get somebody to move is into the place of the unseen. Because Jesus said, if we can look beyond what we are seeing now, there is power in the unseen, and it will become very clear. The Son of Man coming in great power and great glory. And he can only be seen when we lift our heads and we look towards where he's at. I've seen so many people. I don't know about you, brother, but I don't think I have ever seen one person ever receive the Holy Ghost with their head down. I don't think I've ever seen it. It's only when they begin to lift that head. It's only when they begin to look, their eyes may be closed, but you see, they're moving beyond anything down here, because they're beginning to access something that's in the unseen. They're beginning to move into something that's going to bring some joy, and it's going to bring some peace, and it's going to bring an anointing. It's going to bring a freshness. There's going to be a new life we just sang about. There's going to be a new name that we just sang about. Understand, there's power when you lift your head, when you begin to look into the world of the unseen. You've got to get beyond the seen if you ever want to get into the unseen. Oh, help us this morning, this evening. The servant was overwhelmed with fear when he saw horses and chariots of the enemy. But thank God, Elisha saw something different. When the servant's eyes were open to faith, he saw God's response to the enemy. I'm glad God don't just sit up on the sidelines and say, they got this. I'm glad God don't leave me to my own battles. Amen. I'm thankful that God's response is always right there, and it's always on time. The enemy isn't the only one with horses and chariots. Woo. When I got that revelation, it began to help me. I began to realize the enemy shows up with his tools. God's going to always show up with a bigger tool. God's going to always show up with just a few more angels. He's going to show up with a little bit more power. There ain't nothing the enemy can bring to you, oh, that God can't one-up him on. You need to get a revelation of that tonight. God is not going to leave you to the enemy's devices. The Lord never said that he would not let a weapon be formed against you. He just said that if there is one formed against you, it is not going to be able to prosper. Yeah, I feel some Holy Ghost in here right now. My God, my God, my God. We need to get into the world of the unseen because that's where it operates. That's where the real power is. We deal with some finite stuff down here, but there's an infinite world. There's a place that is beyond the tangible. There is a place beyond what we can see and access that we can reach into. Be seated. I don't know, maybe your pastor's more of a biblical scholar than I am, and I've looked into this many times. I've read many different commentaries, and I could be wrong, but the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And I've read some different commentaries, and one of them said that possibly, actually several of them said the same thing, that they probably put the comma in the wrong place, that it should have read something along the lines of, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord comes in, will raise up a standard against him. That possibly that they attributed the flood to the enemy when they should have attributed the flood to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that there's an error in the Bible. I'm certainly not trying to say that tonight. But I'm just saying we need to understand that whether the enemy has a flood or not, it doesn't matter to me, because when the enemy comes in, if he does come in like a flood, when the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him, it's going to be more powerful. It's going to be more greater. It's always going to be mightier than any flood that can come against us, that can ever try to defeat us. So we got to get our eyes off the flood and start looking to the response of the Lord. We got to look to the unseen. Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8 says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We stop there, but let's read on verse number 8. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and we stand upright. Because they may be trusting in their horses and chariots, but I'm trusting in the name of my God. And I know that when he comes in, they're going to fall. They are going to be down, but I'm going to be lifted up, and I'm going to be empowered, and I'm going to be strengthened, because it's not the world of the seen I'm worried about. I'm looking to the world of the unseen. I'm reaching that power. I'm accessing that power. There is no horses and there is no chariots that can overcome someone whose faith is in the Lord. Whose heart is filled with assurance in the power of his God. You see, Elisha was not worried about the enemy's show of force, because he trusted in what he knew. He trusted in what he understood about God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith, Hebrews 11 says, faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. It brings it into focus when your faith moves beyond what you see and gets into the unseen. Because when you get into the unseen, then your faith begins to open up and your faith begins to reveal, and suddenly what was unseen now becomes clear. There becomes an evidence of the unseen because your faith has now reached it. Romans 1 says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and the just shall live by his faith. A few verses down, it says this, that the invisible things of him are clearly seen, even his eternal power and Godhead. The invisible, the unseen things suddenly become very clear when you begin to walk by faith, when you begin to operate in faith. That's why the devil's got to do everything he can to bring that show of force. He's got to bring every horse, every chariot he's got, because he's got to destroy your faith. He has got to get you to a place where you think you're defeated. You see you're defeated. You you live like you're defeated. You pray like you're defeated. You walk like you're defeated. You come to church like you're defeated. You sing like you're defeated. You worship like you're defeated. You can't get your hands up. You can't get your head up. You're so defeated. You're so pushed down because you're looking at the horses and you're looking at the chariot. But when your faith is in the God of all heaven and earth, you can come in the house of God and you can lift those hands and you can walk like you're an overcomer. You can run the aisles like you're an overcomer because you know God is working on my side. I'm in the unseen. I'm in the place of faith. I'm operating where I need to operate. I am not going to live like I'm defeated when I got the God that is able to overcome every battle, able to overcome every situation. He's able to overcome whatever it is I'm going through. He is the God of the unseen. Oh, and as long as the enemy can keep our eyes on the seen, as long as he can keep our eyes on what we are going through, if he can keep our eyes on our dilemma, if he can keep our eyes on our sickness, if he can keep our eyes on our problems, if he can keep our eyes on our family issues, if he can keep our eyes on whatever it is we're facing, we will never be able to see what God is doing. We'll never be able to access the things that God has prepared. Oh, Isaiah 6, and I don't have time to unpack it tonight. Amen. There's a lot to unpack in just this one little verse where it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, amen, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train was filling the temple. In the year that King Uzziah, there was a lot of history there. You need to go back and look into it and study it. But it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah's eyes were open to the spiritual realm. He was not able to access it before. Can I just tell somebody? There needs to be some Uzziahs that begins to die in your life. You got to get your eyes off of what is seen so you can get to the place of the unseen. You got to move beyond where God wants you to. Come on, he's trying to get you somewhere tonight. He wants to take you to a place. I'm trying to build your faith because we're headed somewhere tonight in the Holy Ghost. There are some things in our lives that keep us from seeing the unseen. The horses and chariots can certainly be a daunting sight, but I feel like someone today just needs to lift their head and see the unseen. Before we leave this place, somebody's going to have to close their eyes to the seen and open their eyes to the unseen. Before we leave this place tonight, there's going to be a move of God. I came to this pulpit in confidence and assurance that the Lord sent a word for us here tonight. God is coming to your rescue. He is present in the unseen. He is working in the background. There's a song we sing. I know that y'all probably sing it around here. It's Waymaker. There's a part of it that says, even when we can't see it, he's working. Even when we can't feel it, he's working. He's always there. He's always present. Sometimes I'm the servant. Sometimes I'm the servant. I have to admit, I've got my eyes on the enemy's horses and chariots. But thank God, when I find myself in the servant's shoes, there's always an Elisha somewhere that comes to me and says, hey, lift your head. Come on, I need you to look at something else. I need you to get beyond this, because if you just look just a little bit higher in the mountains, look around there. Oh, there's something you can't see. There's chariots and horses of fire. God has shown up, and you got to see it. You got to see it, because if you can see it, then you can believe it. And if you can believe it, then you can receive it. And if you can receive it, it'll come into fruition in your life, and your faith will be restored. Woo! Hallelujah. Because we got to have our faith restored. I read in the beginning, while we look at the things, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things we're looking at are temporary. My troubles that I have down here are only for a moment. And yet we get to believing like they're for eternity. We get trapped. We get imprisoned. We so do. in what we see and in the things that hold us captive and hold us in play. My God, help us right now. We get so involved and so entranced in the things of life. And when we do, we lose our faith in the unseen. We lose our faith in the ability that God is going to come in and he is going to do what he needs to do. And he is going to speak the words that we need to hear. And he is going to release his power. He's going to release his glory. He's going to let his angels loose. And he's going to tackle. That's what we really need tonight. We need to be able to see what God is going to do. Our battles we are facing on this world, they are not eternal. They are only temporal. But there is an eternal world. There is a place of the unseen that if we can ever access, we got to get our eyes upon that. Amen. Don't get your eyes fixed on the horses and chariots. They are the seen, they are the temporal. But fix your eyes on the unseen. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. But so many times I miss it because I'm trapped. Because I am held hostage by what I am looking at. My eyes are, David said, my eyes are fixed. His eyes wasn't fixed on the world. His eyes were fixed on God. But too many times our eyes get fixed on this. On all the tangible. On all the things, the finite, the things that he hold us. But tonight, I feel the Holy Ghost trying to help somebody in this house tonight. You need to get your ears attuned to the hearing of the word. You need to let your heart tonight begin to enter into a place of faith. And then you need to close your eyes to the scene. And you need to look to the things that God is preparing. You need to get your eyes upon the unseen tonight. Because God is about to do something. He's about to speak something into your heart and speak something in your life tonight. I think someone in this place needs to step into a realm of faith. See, the good thing about preaching a message like this is I don't know what anybody battles. My church, I know what people battle. Brother Crosswhite can probably look out here and point and say, that one needs this one needs that. Because he knows. But for me tonight, I don't know anything about anybody. But I do know one thing. The all-seeing eye of God has already looked into the midst of your dilemma. And he has already looked into the midst of your struggle. And he has already calculated the things that needs to happen. He has looked at the number of the enemy that has surrounded you. He has looked at the amount of the fear that is in your heart. He is already beginning to work out the details. Before you ever showed up tonight, yesterday morning, God spoke a word into my heart because he already knew he was going to be here tonight. And he knew the word you was going to need to hear. And he needed you to understand that there is a world that is beyond what you are looking at right now. There is a place in God that is beyond where you are at tonight. And you've got to move beyond that place. You got to transcend where you're at right now and get into that unseen world where the power of God can work and where his word can begin to do what it needs, where his spirit can speak into your spirit and help someone tonight. We need to move into a place where the seen fades away and the unseen becomes very clear. Because you see, most of the time, the things of God are very cloudy to us. Because it's hard to get beyond our humanity. It's hard to move beyond this world. But I can honestly say I think maybe twice in my life I have been able to really get outside of this world and really experience a place of the supernatural. I've really moved beyond the physical. And I was really in the midst of the Holy of Holies. I felt it. I sensed it. And it's a wonderful place, but I'm trying to help someone here tonight. You see, when the enemy's forces, we need to find that place where enemy's forces turn into God's deliverance. We need to find that place where the furnace of fire becomes a place where God meets you. Where the lion's den is where God shows up. Where the grave of defeat is where the voice of God comes thundering into it and begins to raise to life things that you thought were dead. things that you thought were no longer alive. Oh, Holy Ghost, help us today, where the dungeon of the prison becomes a place of divine release. You've been looking at the horses and chariots for too long. You have been encapsulated by that vision for too long. It's time to open your eyes to the unseen. Fear and defeat have been your companions for way too long. I've slowed down a little bit because we're heading somewhere here in the Holy Ghost. It's time to let your faith rise up. It's time to lift your head. Time to get your eyes off of what you've been looking at for all this time. It's time for Uzziah to die tonight so you can see the Lord high and lifted up. So you can see his train filling the temple. So you can see those cherubims flying. And you can see the place of the unseen that you can't see as long as you're looking at the things that has held you prisoner for this long. David said in Psalms verse 61, verse 2, he said, my heart is overwhelmed. But when it's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know why? Because he's got to get higher. He's got to get higher in order to get beyond what he is looking at this point. Because he is being overwhelmed. Somebody, you're being overwhelmed tonight. I'm preaching to some people right now, and we're going to take you to a place that is higher than you because you've got to get beyond. There's a song we used to sing a lot, and it talked about from heaven's point of view, because when you can get 30,000 feet in the air and you look down out of that airplane window and you look down at this earth, it's a total different view. You see things that shouldn't bother you. You see things that shouldn't affect you. Those mountains don't look all that big when you're looking down at 30,000 feet. But when you're down here looking at it, it's huge. It's daunting. It's overwhelming. It's overcoming. And you don't know how to fight it. But we got to get beyond. Get to the rock that is higher than I. Get to the place that I can see what God is wanting to do. A place where my faith can operate freely without encumbrance, without being hindered, without being fettered. Where my faith operates in the realm of the unseen. Somebody's faith needs to be revived right now. Faith is the evidence of things that is not seen. What's going to happen tonight is God's going to release something into somebody's life that they've been needing for a long time because they have been held captive. You've been held captive. Oh, you've tried to put on the facade. Yeah, you've tried to go through the motions and you've tried to do the things that you know to do, but still it just ain't helping. You're just not breaking through. You've been praying for that situation to come to pass for so long, but it seems like the more you pray, the farther away it gets. It just seems like that everything just keeps going farther and farther away, and your viewpoint is reaching a place of defeat. Your viewpoint is reaching a place where you don't even know if God is going to move or answer, but I am come to tell you tonight that you're going to move beyond what you are seeing, and God is going to help you to reach into a place of the unseen. He is going to help you to reach into a place of faith tonight, a place that you need to operate in. But we're going to do some tonight. I want you, if I've been preaching to you, and this is going to be one of the hard parts, if I've been preaching to you, I want you to make your way to this front, and I want you to stand around this front. If you feel this message has been for you, I want you to come. It's up to the musicians. They want to play or sing. You don't have to, because it ain't going to be music that does anything tonight anyway. It's going to be the unseen. I feel God in this house right now. I feel an anointing of his spirit in this place right now. That was the first hard thing, was making the decision to come. But now here's the second hard part you're going to have to do tonight. God put on my heart this morning, you're going to need to do it tonight as well. That is simply, you're going to have to start praising God for your dilemma. That's the hard part. You're going to have to start praising God for your dilemma. It's a difficult thing to praise him for the fiery furnace. It's a difficult thing to praise him for the lion's den. It is a difficult thing to praise him when you're in the middle of the prison. It's a very difficult thing to praise him when you're facing the hardest situations of your life. It's hard to praise him when the doctor has said, there's no more things I can do. It's hard to praise him when your child seems like they are so far away and the devil's got his grips on them. It's hard to praise him when you're in the midst of the fiery furnace. But tonight, you're going to have to praise him, because it is in the lion's den God's going to show up. It's in the fiery furnace God's going to show up. It is in the prison God's going to show up. It is going to be in your dilemma that God is going to show up. You need to let your faith build right now. Come on, you need to praise him like you've never praised him. Believe in him tonight. Praise him for your pain. Praise him for your grief. Praise him for your discouragement. Because we're going to move beyond that. We're going to move beyond that. Oh, right now in the Holy Ghost, let it rise. Let it rise. Let your praise rise. Thank him for what you are going through right now. Because what you are going through is fixing to help you get beyond it. It's going to help you get beyond it. Because I am going to pray the same prayer that Elisha prayed over his servant. And I'm going to pray it in a moment. And when I pray it, God's going to begin to release to you a supernatural vision. He's going to help you to see what you cannot see before, what you have not been able to access before. But you got to get in that place of praise. Stay in that place of praise. Because this is a battle. You've got to get beyond your chariots and horses. You got to get beyond your chariots and horses tonight. Close your eyes to the things. Close your eyes to the tangibles. Close your eyes tonight. Your physical eyes, you need to close them tight. You need to shut them tight. And you need to let the visual of the horses and chariots begin to fade away. You need to let it move. You need to let it ascend. You need to let it transcend into the place of the unseen. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't get stuck in the scene. Don't stay imprisoned in the finite. Come on. There's an unseen waiting to be accessed. Yes, come on. We're almost there. Oh, the enemy's about to have a bad day. Come on, the Red Sea's fixing a part for somebody. Your vision's about to be restored to you. Close them eyes. Come on, keep them shut. We don't want anything to be seen that's going to hinder what God is about to do. You sure no, Bokisada. I feel victory beginning to move right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, I'm fixing to pray. I'm fixing to pray. I'm going to pray the prayer of Elisha over you. Keep them eyes closed to the scene. Yes, come on, it's all right. We're fixing to move. We're fixing to go there. Come on, preacher, pray it. No, we're working for something right now. We're working for something right now. Come on, we got to have vision. We got to have spiritual vision. Yeah. Yes, somebody's going to leave here tonight with a fresh vision. Somebody's about to leave here tonight with a renewed faith. Yeah, you're going to have the faith of Elisha. Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. Come on. Hey, if you want vision, there's fixing to be some breakthroughs, because God is fixing to reveal something to you. Somebody needs to see that child praying back through to the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs to see the healing coming into your body. Somebody needs to see those chains falling loose off of your body and off of your life. Now you need to see your prayer being answered. You need to see it. It's in the unseen because it's been trapped, because it's been held captive by what you've been looking at. But tonight, come on, your eyes are closed. But right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes of this people and let them see. Open their eyes and let them see right now. In the name of Jesus, release the vision, release the sight, open their eyes, let them see what you are doing, let them see the work of the Holy Ghost, let them see the unseen right now. Come on, he's working. He's working in this house right now. There's vision. There's vision. It ain't going to be what you see down here. God's going to show you what he's doing. Come on, it may take a little bit, but you just keep hanging on. Look beyond the bondage and see the freedom. See the victory.
Let it be done. Let it be done in this life right now, God. Whatever the struggle may be, I pray, God, that you will help her to receive. Help her right now to access that place of the unseen that she needs to receive right now. But God, let there be a power. Let there be a victory. Let there be an overcoming power in the midst of her life. Let it be done right now in the name of Jesus.
Come on, there's a world of the unseen. There's a place of the unseen. Come on, the Lord is saying, if you can see it, he'll do it. If you can see it, he'll do it. Come on, I don't walk like this very often, but God is saying, if you can see it, he'll do it. He's going to break through the battle lines. He's going to break through the battle lines. Come on, we got to move beyond.
Yeah, there's some spiritual struggles in here, but God is doing some work. Come on, he said, if you can see it, he'll do it. But you got to quit looking at the wrong thing. You got to get looking to the unseen. Move beyond, move beyond, move beyond. There's horses and chariots of fire. God is surrounding your enemy right now. He is beginning to do the work. He's beginning to speak the victory. He's beginning to do what he wants to do. He's showing you. Let him show you tonight. Oh, hallelujah.
There's a breakthrough for you in the name of Jesus. If you will just trust him, you will just get your eyes turned toward him right now. In the name of Jesus, God, help her right now. Help her to break free. Help her to step into the place of the unseen right now.
Come on, there's victory for you.
You can have it tonight. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. Yes, let it be done right now. Be defeated. I will not live a defeated life. I will have my victory. I will achieve it tonight in the Holy Ghost. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Never stop working, even when blessing God tonight. Come on, rejoice. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You ought to celebrate that your God has redeemed you. Somebody just reach out. Come on. Wade out deeper in the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Would you find somebody near you? Just join with them right now. Just bind together with them. Hallelujah. It's okay. Find somebody near you. I want you to pray with authority right now in the name of Jesus. Bind together with authority. God, let me not stay in that space I've been. Hallelujah. Let me not live in that realm I've lived in. God, I wanted that higher place, that deeper realm. Hallelujah. Pray with authority right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, help us, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, pray with that authority. Pray with authority. The Holy Ghost wants to just work with you right now. The Spirit of the living God wants to use you. Hey. Woo. 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 Yes. Don't quit praying for that person near you. I want you to pray with such authority tonight. Amen. I want you to pray with them that God would use us as a mighty team in this. Come on, we only have a short time to be what God has called us to be. I want you to pray for God's anointing and His mantle to be put on your life. Come on, pray that, Lord, use us. Lord, I pray for the authority in your spirit. I pray for the divine, the working of your presence and spirit in us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let the divine power of your righteousness, oh God, dwell. 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 Woo, my, my. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive? I feel there's something in the Holy Ghost right now. Would you lift your hands? We're going to pray for the glory of the Holy Ghost, ready to receive the glory of your spirit, oh God, the depth. Hallelujah. And there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Holy Ghost, you come to give right now. In the name of the Lord, I want you to receive. I want you to grasp with your spirit. I want you to get and absorb it. Right now, in the name of the Lord God, go ahead, come on. The anointing of the Lord's falling right now on somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, won't you yield your spirit, yield your tongue to the Holy Ghost, yield yourself to God right now. Come on, yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, holy. Hey, receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Da ramaya ya la ya. Hallelujah. Now, would you give the Lord a hand of praise? Clap your hands to God. Applaud God. Applaud God. Hallelujah. Applaud God. Applaud Him for who He is. Applaud Him for His goodness to the children of men. Hallelujah. This morning in our morning service, God led us to a certain point. We talked about it this morning. Amen. Getting to that place where it's beyond you, where you're lost in the Holy Ghost. God's ready to do it. God's ready for that type of revival. Amen. That there we reach that place where the Holy Ghost, amen, just flows. And we had in the morning, I asked several to raise their hand. Have you ever been drunk in the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. Have you ever been drunk? Amen. The Holy Ghost. Completely just where the Holy Ghost just took you to a different realm. Amen. God's ready for people to come here and be filled to the place where totally saturated. Amen. In His Spirit. Amen. A place in a realm that you've never been before. Your prayer life changes. Your outlook changes. Your walk changes. Amen. And God's ready for that. That's what He's promised in the last day. Amen. That He's going to pour out His Spirit. Amen. In the jail, we've experienced the power of God. People that's never known anything about the Spirit of God. Never. Amen. And in a service, we just start talking about the Holy Ghost. They never, ever heard anybody speak with other tongues. And God fills them with the gift of the Holy Ghost in the jail. God takes a rotten individual that everybody's writing off, and He fills them with His Spirit. God makes them a brand new creature. In foreign countries, even there, we've talked about the power of the Holy Ghost in Honduras, and the Spirit of God just sweeps in, and God fills people with the Holy Ghost. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Do you know the largest church right now, as far as the body, amen, is a place called China. God is filling people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. People are praying, and God is coming through sweeping, amen, in a nation that does not, amen, even make it legal for you to worship, illegal to have a Bible. God is filling people with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They're baptizing people because they're reading it in their Bible that you have to be born again of water and of the Spirit. They're baptizing people in all different places, in pools and you name it, streams and basins, waters, whatever they could find that holds water big enough to baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's happening. People are being baptized around the world. Our missionary to the country of Jordan that was with us just recently, Brother Kuella, was with us. People, God is giving Muslims dreams and showing them visions. They're coming to Jordan, Amman, Jordan, from Iran, Iraq, and Jordan itself. Even Morocco, people coming from these countries that have been Muslim all their life. God is revealing them the place to go, the person to see, and they're coming because they said, I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I need the Holy Ghost. And whenever they come, and God is bringing scores of people from all different Muslim nations. There's a revival in the Muslim country, even where God is filling people with the gift of the Holy Ghost, just like He did in the book of Acts. You see, all the other books in the Bible has an ending. Romans has an ending. The epistles have an ending. But the book of Acts doesn't have an ending because the book of Acts is still being written today. The actions of the apostles, the church, amen, is still going forth. God's doing it. Amen. Praise God. What a joy to, amen, to come and receive. Thank you, amen, Brother and Sister Sanders, for being with us this evening, for obeying the Holy Ghost. Amen. There you are. Amen. I lost you for a second. We're so blessed, amen, for you obeying the Holy Ghost, and I'm glad that God spoke. Amen. And God used you tonight, amen, in this service. Praise God. How many love camp meeting services right here? Some people have to go to camp meeting. We just have it. Amen. Hallelujah. Camp meeting should never be once a year, twice a year, or occasional. It ought to be, oh, as much as we could have it right here. Praise God. We're so thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And our guest is with us, Caleb, and we're so honored you're here tonight. Amen. I can't remember your name. I met you before. I can't remember, but thank you for being with us. Some other guests that was here a while ago, I seen her just a moment ago. We're so honored that you're with us. Amen. Saints of the Most High, what a joy to have you tonight. Amen. The month of March is coming to an end. Tomorrow's the last day of March. If you had a birthday for the month of March, any March babies here? Anybody was born in the month of March? Brother Atkins? Anybody else? Anna? Anna, it seemed like you just had a birthday. Amen. Brother Chad, you had a birthday in March? Okay. Any other March? All right. These two? Amen. We want to sing happy birthday to them tonight. Amen. Would you join with us? Would you pray? Blessings on you. We pray God's blessings on you. May you feel Jesus near every day of year. We pray God's blessings and the blessed year you ever had. Give them a hand tonight. Brother Atkins in the third building tonight. You and Anna have the privilege of going first. Amen. Any anniversaries tonight? People, you got married in March too? Amen. Uh-oh. 12 years ago, right here where they're at, amen, she walked down the aisle, and all is history. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing happy anniversary, Brother and Sister Watson. Brother Atkins. Brother Atkins says it's 49 years. Brother and Sister Watson, they got their dozen. Dozen years. Amen. We're so thankful. Amen. We will have them to go first tonight. And after them, our senior saints. Now, we do need some helpers. Amen. I need somebody that is strong enough to change the trash liner to take the trash out for us tonight. Can I get a volunteer? Brother Kenny Brown is going to take the trash out tonight. Amen. Brother Brent's going to take the trash. I need some moppers tonight when it's all said and done. Amen. Brother, yeah. Amen. I need some men to help us mop. Can I get a volunteer? Brother Austin, somebody to sweep. Okay, thank you. And wipe tables. Everybody would wipe their table, clean their table off tonight if you're at a table. And if you go early, make sure you clean up your area, okay? It makes us all, instead of the same person staying, and sometimes that happens, okay? And I know a lot of people, they eat and hit the road, Amen. But remember, somebody's got to clean up. Thank you so much for doing that. Amen. Praise God. And Sister Butler's over there. She's our coordinator leader for our ladies. Let's not let her do it all. Everybody say amen. In fact, let them leave early because they're always the last one to leave. Make sure you tell them after they eat, hey, y'all get to go. Praise God. We love everybody. Amen. In fact, amen. Let's see. Amen. Brother Watson, since it's your anniversary, you come pray over the food and dismiss us. Amen. By the way, Brother Sanders, those of you that's been on the carnivore diet, Brother Sanders, 35 plus pounds on carnivore diet. Tonight, he may not be able to eat what's over there, but we will get him something to eat tonight. So if you see us leave, you'll know what we're doing. We're taking care of this good man of God and his bride. Amen. Amen. We're so thankful. Both of them, amen, has been on that meat-eating diet. Amen. They hadn't eaten no vegetable, grazed with any cows, but they sure eaten, amen, a lot of good.
Yeah. Amen. Well, let's pray, everybody. Let's pray over our food and also the ending of the service. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this wonderful service. I ask you, Lord, to bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies in Jesus' name. Can everybody say amen?